Our scripture reading this morning before our lesson comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?"
Good morning. We're going to try again to see if this works. Are we good? Looks like it's going to work for this part together. I'd have to say, before we go any further, I'm thankful for those guys in the booth. Every once in a while, we have some technical glitches and some problems. That only happens about 183rd of the time. The rest of the time, we're good. That was from my high school class. They know what that's all about. It is good to be with you this morning. We have lots of guests with us. We're thankful you're here. We're thankful you've set aside times to do things that are spiritual, that you've decided to come and encourage God's people by worshiping together, assembling together. We're going to praise God. And we're thankful for that desire in your life. We hope that you've been uplifted, encouraged this morning. And we pray that we've been of service to you. We'd ask you to stick around after the conclusion of this assembly in just a few moments and get to know us a little bit better. Especially if you're from the community, I just want to tell you that if you're looking for a place to call home, a new church family, we'd suggest that you found that this morning. We'd encourage you to be a part of this work and be a part of this family and talk to our shepherds about that and to join us as we labor here for the Lord to do His will. There is no doubt that one of the most popular passages from the Bible, from the New Testament, people know, it was even mentioned by Eric this morning in his talk, which did a great job, is John chapter 3 and verse 16. In fact, if you're to turn on a football game, maybe even a basketball game or a baseball game, you might see somebody in the stands holding up a sign that says John 3:16. And the reason for that is John 3:16 delivers a message we want to hear. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal or everlasting life. What a comforting message that is. God loved me enough to give His Son to die for me so I could then live forever. But I tell you what you will almost never see put on a sign at an athletic event. I will tell you what you almost never hear somebody promote is what's found in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 23. In Luke chapter 9 and in verse 23, it says that Jesus said to all of them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, that is a lot harder than just reading John 3:16 and thinking, you know what, God loved me so much, all I got to do is believe that, and I get eternal life. And then Jesus turns around in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, says, look, you want to come after me, you pick up a cross, you do that daily, and you follow me. Well, here's the interesting part. John 3:16 is not really an invitation from the Lord, but Luke 9:23 is. Luke 9:23 is an invitation from Jesus for us to follow Him. If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross daily and follow me. There is an invitation there for us to follow Jesus. And so here's the key, folks. John 3:16 doesn't mean anything to you unless you do what Luke 9:23 says. You see, in John 3:16, it says, look, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Luke 9:23 gives us a glimpse into what it means to believe Jesus. Because if you believe Jesus, then you believe what He said here. And there's some things we need to understand. First, this is an open invitation from Jesus. He says, if anyone, that's an all-inclusive word. There are no pre-qualifications. There's no asterisk next to that with fine print at the bottom of your Bible that says anyone except for people who've committed this sin or that sin or done this or that or the other. If anyone would come after me, anyone really means everyone. Here's the key about Jesus' invitation. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter where you have been. It does not matter where you're from. You are welcome to follow after Jesus Christ. Maybe you've not thought about this, but perhaps no one among the 12 apostles is an odder fit than the one named Matthew. I'm sure Matthew's parents had great hopes and expectations for him. And I think that's because they named him a different name than Matthew. You remember what they named him? Levi. I don't know how you think about things in your home, but if I was a Hebrew father growing up in that time period, and I decided to name my son after one of the 12 sons of Jacob, but even more than that, the tribe that was dedicated to the Lord, what do you think the meaning of the word Levi would be? I want my son to be dedicated to serving God. That's why he was named Levi. That's a pretty tall order for a young man. And when we meet Levi, what is interesting is that he might have gone from the greatest expectations his parents had ever had to perhaps the greatest disappointment they had had. Because when we're introduced to Matthew, you know what he is? He is a Jewish-born citizen serving the Roman government as a tax collector. And when you read that term, tax collector, don't think IRS. Not the same thing. It's worse. Because a tax collector didn't just collect taxes, he collected more than taxes. He was known for doing that. In fact, the reputation of a tax collector is always, by the Pharisees and the scribes, mentioned in the most negative of terms. Jesus is associating with tax collectors. They were known to be disreputable sinners who extorted their own countrymen, not only to serve the Roman government, but to serve themselves. In other words, this is what you need to understand about Matthew. When we meet Matthew, he is stained. He has a lot of baggage. He's not lived up to his parents' expectations. He's not lived up to the Jewish expectations. He is not the kind of person you wanted to be. And so in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 9, we're introduced that Jesus passed on from there and he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Verse 10 says, as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And verse 11 says, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" There it is. But Jesus hears this. And you know what he says? You'll recognize it when you hear it. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I came not to call righteous, but sinners. What is really interesting is you don't understand perhaps how rabbis in the day of Christ accepted followers. People who wanted to learn from them. You see, during this time, rabbis or the accepted teachers, they would take applications for people to follow them. You would have to go and you would have to convince the rabbi to allow you to be one of the closest people that followed him in order to learn from him. In other words, it was kind of like a college or a university or a private school taking an application, and they would read over your ACT and your GPA and all of your extracurricular activities, and they'd say, "Yes, you can follow me," or "No, you can't." But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus walked up to a tax collector of all people and said, "You follow me. I already know where you've been. I already know what you've done. You follow me." You know what that story's about? Jesus is teaching us a lesson with Matthew. Anyone can follow me. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care about your crimes. I don't care about your sins. I don't care about whether your family thinks that you've lived up to their expectations. I don't care whether anybody's proud of you. You are allowed to follow me. Who can follow Jesus? A recovering alcoholic? Anyone. A pothead? Anyone. An adulterer? Anyone. Someone who's been convicted of a crime? An ex-con? Anyone can follow Jesus. Which means everyone can. I don't care who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. you can follow Jesus. And if he can take a man like Paul, who murdered people, or he could take someone like Matthew, who is a tax collector, and he could change them into apostles and evangelists that turn the world on its head, he can do that with you. Anyone, everyone can follow Jesus, but you've got to pursue him because it's a pursuit. He says there, come after me. I don't know how you think about pursuits or pursuing someone. I got to tell you, having a teenage son makes you see pursuing somebody completely different. The target of the affection may change weekly, but there are pursuits. I think if things, by the way, he's staring me down. That does not intimidate me. I don't know if y'all figured that out. I will talk about him some more. Our culture loves a good romance, right? That's why there's movies like You've Got Mail, The Notebook, Sleepless in Seattle. That's why we have those songs like Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, or Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On, or how about Stevie Wonder, You Are the Sunshine of My Life, or how about Meatloaf, I Would Do Anything for Love. Oh yeah. Those songs are about pursuit. And it's like those young people that they like somebody and all they can do is talk about them because they want to text them and talk to them and talk about them all the time. You say, is this a girl? Oh no, that's not who I like this week. Oh yeah, it is. 24/7, you hear about that person. That's the idea here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 when it talks about you coming after Jesus. You pursue him with everything you have. Here's a better way to describe it. Turn to Matthew 13 and verse 44. In the section of Matthew 13 when there's these parables about the kingdom and what it's like and what it's going to be like, here's this just one verse parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. He finds something. It's really valuable, but he doesn't want to tell anybody else, so he hides it. And then he goes and sells everything. He sells his house. He sells his farm. He sells his farm equipment. He sells his car. He sells his computer, his cell phone, everything he can. And he goes and buys that field because that's all that matters. Friends, that's the kind of pursuit it takes to go after Jesus. You know what the problem is? Our problem in our culture is rather than pursuing Jesus and rather than making him the object of our desire and wanting to court him and marry him, we'd rather just cohabitate with Jesus. Here's what I mean by that. It's like the guy's been dating his girlfriend for a while and he really loves her and he loves her a lot and he doesn't want to lose her, but he ain't ready to get married yet. Because he's still enjoying his single life. And so rather than losing his identity and his freedom, he goes up to her and he says, hey, honey, how about we just move in together? You know why he does that? And young girls, especially you, listen to me about this. This is why guys do that. So they can get all the benefits of marriage without having to give anything up. That's why. You realize that's what we do with Jesus? Is sometimes we walk up to Jesus and we say, hey, Jesus, how about we just move in together? How about, Jesus, as long as you keep up your end of the bargain and you take care of my life and you do all that stuff that's promised, well, I'll be here, but now you don't ask too much of me, Jesus. I'll be in a relationship with you, but you don't ask too much because I'm not ready to give up everything yet. We need to be reminded that we love Jesus because he first loved us. That's what 1 John 4:19 says. And how much did he love us? He died for us. But our problem is we're like the people in Ephesus that Jesus talked about in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We have forgotten our first love. We've forgotten that our whole focus and our whole goal and our whole emphasis of life is on Christ. And we've abandoned the love we had at first. And Jesus said to that church, you remember from where you've fallen, repent, and you do the works you did at first. If you don't, I'll remove your lampstand unless you repent. Turn to Psalm 63 and verse 8. Psalm 63 and verse 8. I have to tell you, normally, all I read to you from is the English Standard Version. I like it better than the other version. And here's what Psalm 63 and verse 8 says. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But I got to tell you, this is one of those times where I like what the original King James Version said. Listen to what it said. My soul followeth hard after thee. That's it. That's what we're talking about. My soul is chasing you, God. I'm pursuing you because I love you. And I don't want to love you and just be in some non-committal relationship where I don't have to give anything up. I will give up everything I have to be with you, Christ. That's the kind of pursuit he's talking about. If anyone will come to me and deny themselves. Well, don't forget, there is complete surrender within this invitation. He said in order for us to come, we had to deny ourselves. You remember the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19? In Matthew 19, the rich young ruler comes and he says to Jesus, teacher or rabbi, to use that same language we used earlier, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus answers him out of law. Why do you ask me what's good? There's only one who's good. If you enter, can keep the commandments. He said, which ones? Shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. The young man says, I've done all that. What else? What am I missing? And Jesus says here in verse 21, if you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. Friends, let me make sure you understand what the story of the rich young ruler is about. It is not about money. It is not about wealth. It is not about whether or not you can be rich. It is not about what you can have and what you can't have. That is not what this story is about. You know what the story of the rich young ruler is about? It is about Jesus. Jesus is saying to him, you're at a crossroads in your life and you need to decide, are you going to follow your wealth or are you going to follow me? You either sell everything you have and follow me or you go back and you follow the wealth. And that young man walked away sorrowful because he had many possessions. You know what he was really saying? Jesus, how about we move in together? And Jesus says, You want to live with me, you got to give up everything. You've got to deny yourself and all you have. You might look at that story, you might go, well, that's not me, I'm not rich. But I tell you what, there is something in your life right now that may be in the way of you following Jesus. It could be wealth, it could be your education, it could be your family, it could be your recreation. But sometimes we come to a crossroads where we got to decide, are we going to give that up and follow Jesus or are we going to go our own way? Jesus said, deny yourself. I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself this way, but the idea of slavery is a scriptural illustration about what we are. You see, when you and I become disciples, we become slaves to Christ. In fact, I got to show you, that's so biblical. That's how the early writers referred to themselves. Listen to 2 Peter verse 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant or slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. How about James 1 and verse 1? James, a servant or slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about Jude 1 and verse 1? Jude, a servant or slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James. How about Romans chapter 1 and verse 1? Paul, a servant or slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Over and over again, these church fathers referred to themselves as what? Servants, slaves. You know why? Because Jesus was their master. Here's the point. You cannot call Jesus your Lord without becoming His slave. That's the point. And that's our problem. What we'd prefer to do is we'd rather call Jesus Lord but still be the master of our own life. No, when we say, Jesus, You are my Lord, what you mean is You have the right to rule over me, to own me. You have purchased me with Your blood. You are my master. I do not count. Whatever You say, I will do. Deny yourself. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ. I put myself, my life, my desires, what I want to death. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What does that mean? He gets to tell me what to do. I mean, you just use the American terminology. When you become a Christian, you give up all of your rights to follow Jesus. It's no more about what my right is. It's about what the Lord wants me to do. Deny yourself. Understand that when you accept His invitation, you are saying, I will be your slave. I will be your servant. And you're also saying, I am willing to die daily. Nothing helps a company out better than a good slogan. Just think about some of these. I can say it, I guarantee you know who it is. Melts in your mouth, not in your hands. M&M's, right? You're in good hands with, I'm sorry, guys. How about like a good neighbor? There you go. Now Joe and Dennis and everybody's happy. How about the ultimate driving machine? Or it keeps going and going and going. You know what the slogan for Christianity is? Come and die. That's it. That's the Lord's slogan. If He was going to have a marketing campaign, He wouldn't have just do it, right? He would say, come and die. Sounds attractive, doesn't it? I got to tell you, if you were to go sit down with marketing executives today, and even those who specialize in religious groups, and they say, what do you want to do? What do you want to do to attract people to East Shelby? We want to get a big billboard. We just want three words on it. Black with just three white words. What does it say? Come and die. Are you crazy? Isn't that what Luke 9:23 says? If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and what? Take up his cross daily. I don't know what you think the cross is, but you know what it is? It's a symbol of pain. It's a symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of death. There is no promise in this verse that if you become a Christian, everything you do will be blessed 100-fold. There is no health and wealth and prosperity gospel in Luke 9:23. You know what He says? He says, if you want to come after Me, you deny yourself and you prepare to suffer every day. The problem is, we'd rather practice a snuggie theology. You know the Snuggie, right? I got to tell you, when the Snuggie came out, I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. Some guy turned his bathrobe around backwards and said, you know, we could sell this. And in our stupidity, we all bought it. And I used to make fun of the Snuggie until one Christmas my mom bought us all Snuggies. And let me tell you something, don't you touch my UT Snuggie. You know what's great about a Snuggie? It embraces all about our culture. The Snuggie was designed and developed so that when I come home and I want to be warm and I want to be comfortable, I can put my Snuggie on in my recliner with ESPN on, and you know you better not bother me because I have checked out for the day. And I am done. And I'm comfortable. I'm Snuggie. And that's what we want religion to be like. We want to be able to check out and be inconvenienced and be comfortable and be warm and be toasty and not be bothered. But that is not what Jesus said it was like. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people hate you. And when they exclude you and they revile you and spurn your name as evil on the account of man." That doesn't sound comfortable, does it? Paul said, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Or he said, "For it has been granted to you for that sake of Christ that you should not only believe in Him, but suffer for His sake." You know what all those passages mean? You will die daily. Yes, there are things you don't get to do anymore. Pick up your cross and follow Him. There are acts in your life that you may want to do. Hey, look, if you're an alcoholic, yes, you can come to Jesus, but you've got to put the bottle down and pick up your cross and follow Christ. It's part of it. If you're entrapped by the sensuality of this world, you've got to stop that and pick up your cross and follow. Will that be hard? Absolutely. Will you suffer? Yes, for the cause of Christ. We all suffer. Will some of your friends who used to do that stuff, will they make fun of you? Yes, they will. Is it worth it? Absolutely. You know why? Because there's nothing better than following Jesus Christ. And nobody was a better example of that than He was Himself. Listen to what He said in John 10:18. He said, "No one takes it from me." He's talking about His life. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father." You know what Jesus is saying? Look, nobody can take this life from me, but I lay it down willingly for you. I pick up the cross for you. And all He asks us to do is to pick up our cross for Him. You know what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31? "I die daily." Come and die. That's the Lord's invitation. Come and die and follow me. That's how he ends Luke 9 and verse 23. Follow me. Nothing matters. None of this matters, by the way, if you don't follow Jesus Christ. You can come. You can say you want to be His disciple. You can deny things in your life. You can suffer for Him. But if you don't follow Him in submission and obedience, it does not matter. I want you to go to the end of Luke chapter 9. And I want you to notice some things there in verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to Him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." To another He said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my Father." And Jesus said, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." When we talk about following Jesus, there's three ways we got to follow Him. First guy comes up and he says, "Look, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus turns and says, "Now careful now, because foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I'm homeless. So when you look at me and you say, 'Hey, look, I'll go wherever you go,' Jesus says, you might not want to say that." Let me tell you something. If we're going to follow Jesus the way we have to in this pursuit, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, you know what that means? We better follow Him wherever He says go. What if He says to leave your job because your employer is asking you to do things you can't do and be a Christian? You leave and you go wherever He says go. What if He says you can't be in that relationship you want to be in anymore because you have no right to? You go wherever He says go. That's what it means to follow Him. Well, then the second guy comes in and he says, "Well, Jesus, I'll follow you. But I got some other things to do first. And Jesus says, no, you come now. You got to follow me whenever I say go. Jesus is not going to wait forever, friends. I think sometimes we think, hey, you know what? I'll just do whatever I want to do, and then I'll know before I die, and I'll get everything right. I've had people tell me that. Look, I'm having too much fun right now, but the day's coming, and I know when that is, and I'll get everything right, and I'll be back. Number one, they never come back because they can't get it right on their own. But number two, you don't know the hour or the day or the time when He's coming, and so you know when you need to follow Jesus right now. Today. Behold, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. When He says, follow me, He means now. And then the third guy says, well, you know what, Jesus? I'll follow you, but I first got to go and I got to spend some more time with my family. And Jesus says, no, you're not fit because you're not willing to give up whatever it takes to follow me. Because you're too busy looking back. No one who tries to plow looking backwards is fit. You can't cling to the past. You have to give up whatever I tell you to. You see, this is His invitation, by the way. His invitation is if you want to come after Him, then you deny yourself and you pick up your cross and you go wherever He tells you to go, whenever He tells you to go, giving up whatever He tells you to give up and doing whatever He tells you to do. And that's what it takes to receive that eternal life from John 3 and verse 16. You see those things we've looked at this morning? That's what it means to believe in Him. That's what it means to follow Him. That's what it means to say, Jesus, You are the Lord of my life. What is it you need to give up today in order to follow Him? For the rich young ruler, it was his stuff. For the adulteress, it's her adultery and her relationship. For the addict, it's his booze or his drugs. For some people, it's family. And I got to tell you, sometimes we find ourselves at a crossroads, and you may be there this morning, where you're trying to figure out, what is it I need to give up? Should I follow Jesus or should I follow what I want to do? And right now this morning, Jesus is looking you in the eye, and this is what He's saying. If you want to follow me, then you give that up and you die daily and you follow me. You can do that right now. You have the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and follow Him and submit to Him and do what He says. How does that begin? If you're not a Christian, here's how it begins. Part of following Him is doing whatever He asked you to do. He's asked you to believe in Him. Unless you believe that I am He, you will perish. He's asked you to repent, to change your life. That's the crossroads. Don't follow your stuff and your life and your desires anymore. Follow after Jesus. It's a change of direction. He's asked you to confess. Unless you confess, I will not confess you. Confess what? That He is the Son of God. Confess your faith. You know what else He's asked you to do? To be baptized for the remission of your sins. You willing to follow Him and do whatever He says to do? Why not pick up your cross this morning and deny yourself and follow Him wherever and whenever and whatever? Maybe you're here and you've already obeyed the gospel, you've already done that, but you've not followed Him like you should. You can respond to the Lord this morning as well if you need to publicly confess, or as we looked at earlier, if you need to do that privately, that is fine as well. Whatever it is, if you're not following Jesus, why don't you deny yourself this morning? Why not accept His invitation? Why not pick up your cross? Why not follow Jesus right now by coming while we stand and while we sing this song?